I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
What's going on, everybody?
Hey,
welcome to the Midnight Paco podcast.
Yeah,
I'm right here.
Yeah, as always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on Instagram.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both on the Midnight Paco podcast. As you see, we have a very special guest in the house. We got Mr. Rob Allen in the house, y'all.
Junior in
Rob
the
Allen
race.
Jr., make some noise. Where can they find you at, Rob Allen Jr.?
They can find me at Rob Allen Jr. That's it. All my other shit was hacked.
Ooh.
Y'all can find me under Rob Allen Jr.
On Facebook.
So to the Midnight Paco Podcast, brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed. Guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trust, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
That's right. Rob Allen Comedy, yo. Allen, man, can you give us some background, brother? Can you tell me when you started comedy?
Man, yeah. I keep 100, and I was going to do my 35th anniversary, but you know what? I it was just like, do I got 35 real friends that's going to show up to the motherfucker?
Mm.
You know, and I ain't do it, but I started comedy August the 20th, 1988. Buried my father August 30th, a week before that. And I was in Army Reserves. A couple of friends of mine was like, man, you need to go down to the Cleveland Comedy Club, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, man, whatever. They was like, man, no. And I went down there, and I did the amateur night, and man, it was this rush.
Where was that?
Hold on. That shit out.
Get it out.
It was at the Cleveland Comedy Club.
Okay.
Yeah, it was where the baseball field is now. Years and years ago, I was an ancient man. I still had this silver.
I was 10 years old.
1988?
Yeah.
I was only born in.
I was 7.
Yeah, but it don't matter. I still had this silver tooth. I thought about doing big things in my life, you know.
Yeah, you're 20 years old.
I still had hair. I had high top everything. I don't know what the fuck happened.
You didn't put powder in it, like.
Enough of your games, Justin. I don't want to hear no more about my powder. I couldn't get dye in my hair. My father wouldn't let me get dye in my hair.
Oh, man.
I couldn't even get earrings. My dad was like, earrings are to beautify a woman. So. Get dye in my hair like Kwame and them was out of the question. So I put powder in there, and it was fly.
What color ended up being white?
Yeah. Being a young guy with some white pop, man, come on, man. That was fly.
I said, nobody was fucking with you trying to get it out your head at school.
No.
Hey, how long you did that?
You know,
during
the 90s.
Like a year?
No, probably for a summer or two.
Oh, that was cool. You know you're going to get a bit of some settlement money in that soon, huh?
The fuck is wrong with you? Well, are you going to throw some powder on me?
Now I got cervical cancer. Like, God damn it.
Hey, you know, no, we ain't going to talk about
hey,
that.
You know they got,
but it might be really wrong.
You know they found asbestos in baby powder.
Yeah.
So you might have some. That's why you went bald, huh?
Yes, that's why I lost my hair. God damn it.
I blame my shit on now.
That's curl.
Well, no. Well, I never have enough to get a curl. I just had enough to get, like, you almost could get a curl. But since you light skinned, we ain't gonna let you get no motherfucking curl. Big head motherfucker. And they ain't let me get no curl, you know. But fuck a curl anyway.
I know.
I lost my hair anyway. You know what I'm saying? But I think I lost my hair because I used that men for just whatever that shit. I kept trying to keep my shit black, like, oh yeah, the hoes gonna love this shit black. And that shit stayed black, and it stayed black, and it stayed, turned into a desert, it turned into an army field.
Damn!
And I say, fuck it.
I'm gonna shave it off.
Yeah, I might try to keep it shaved now and then, but it'd be like, damn, Go over here. You gotta cut down this army field. Boy, motherfucker.
So you guys got something in common. Y'all both was in the Army Reserves.
Oh yeah, 428th Supply and Service. We used to be across the street from Tri-C East. They, you know, where were you?
I was up in
Brooklyn.
I was up in Erie.
Erie, okay. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, my unit was stationed out of Cambridge Springs, but it was an infantry unit, the Pennsylvania National Guard, yeah.
And you know what? I thank all the little service time I did, man, because I was able.
How long did you do?
I did my little hard reserve time. It was six years? It was six.
Six and two?
Two off, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hold on.
Yeah, that's what I did.
But I went to Honduras and did a show, and I didn't even have 15 minutes of comedy. And the dude ran around, and I had colonels and everything sitting in front of me in front of the show. And I wasn't ready. But I made some of them laugh. This was back when I first started comedy.
Okay.
You know, but the little army, you know, that was cool.
It's a good experience, right?
Yeah, you know, Graylin.
How old were you when you started that?
17.
Oh, woo!
I joined when I was 25.
Yeah, I was 17. I hadn't even finished high school. You know, the only reason they let me in there because I have this big ass head and there's some shit up in there. And I had to pass my test by like extra points.
Right.
You know, and I was like, ain't no problem, I got extra head, motherfucker.
Pause.
I'm about to pass this bitch. And then they was like, wow, you can go right now to Fort Littlewood, Missouri. You know, I jumped out 17, dropped out of school, I couldn't go regular. Because you had to have a GFD or something. They said you can go in there and you can work on your GFD and that. All I looked at that money, little change. I was like, boom! I ran in that motherfucker.
Right, right.
Yeah, that shit was going bad out here, man. You know.
No, I get you away. You're in an area. You know, you're making money. You know, you're doing something, which is you're working out. Mm. You know what I mean? It's a forced workout. You know, it's
man, fuck all that shit. Look here, we doing comedy now.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
you know what? Not to I don't want you to brag, or this is not for the flex, but this is just the facts. Can you run down some of the things you did for the people that don't know?
Oh, what I do? I've been on tour with a bunch of motherfuckers. I opened up for Patti LaBelle, Steve Harvey, Martin Lawrence, Robin Harris, Sam Kennison, Jamie Foxx, Martin Lawrence, Bernie.
Bernie Mac.
I can't even, you know, I did some shit in my life, man. DC Young Fly, Carlos Miller, one of my faves, a bunch of peoples.
Yeah. What about Comic View?
Yeah, I was on that motherfucker like 8 years or something in a row.
Mm.
Yeah, I was like on that, and then I won that award Red Fox Cutting Edge. I still got it. Somebody got it in my family. I was like, I don't want it. You know, I might end up in a homeless shelter. What I'm going to be doing with a goddamn Red Fox Award. From BT Cutting Edge. I think it was 94, 95. It was award show, everything. It was beautiful.
Man, you know, shout out to Comic View, man, because without Comic View, I don't think I would be doing the thing. Because, you know, Comic View and Def Comedy Jam.
Right.
It's something that I, you know, grew up watching, and that was important. You know, that was like when you saw like comics that you never really heard of, or you probably normally wouldn't have heard of, you saw on Comic View, or you saw them on Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have heard of me. Yeah. Think about it. I mean, I people be coming up to me and be like, "I remember you when I was 12 years old." And I be looking at the motherfucker like, damn, you look 70. How the fuck you remember me? Motherfucker, you older than me. But you watch me. You watch me before you was born. Before I was born.
But so you started doing comedy at what age? 20.
Yeah. 20. My dad died on August 13th. August 20th, 1988, I started doing comedy. And I lived in East Cleveland on Dome. And I was in the Army Reserves. And I was going to Tri-C because I thought I could be a doctor. You know, because I had extra head. You know what I'm saying?
Pause.
When you only had GFD.
GFD.
You only had GFD, you might have to start off Tri-C first, be like, I can fuck with it. You know? And people ask me, like, why you going to Tri-C? I be like, I'm going to Tri-C. To see, can I go to the CSU? I got to try to find out, can I fuck with this shit? This, you know, math. They got new math.
Yeah, that new math is something different. Right? Shit. It's something different.
They did just regular math, I would have been a bad motherfucker. You know?
Yeah, who needs calculus?
You know what I'm saying?
I'm good.
No, this math is different, Jay. It's different from calculus. It's right. New.
Oh, I know. My granddaughter has. I look at some of her homework. I'm like, you're 8 years old. What is this? Is weird.
Right.
I don't even know what this is right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Pretty much.
Oh man.
Comic View. How did you? How did you get from 20 years old to Comic View?
I mean,
that's a journey.
No. You mean be on Comic View?
Yeah.
They had these auditions. And they had these auditions in Columbus, Cleveland, little places. And then all the comics would show up. Or they had you send in tapes or whatever. And okay. Boom, you know, I mean. And what helped me is that I had worked, before I was 21 years old, I had worked with Robin Harris, Steve Harvey. You know, not at their primes.
Right.
But when this guy, Kenny Adams, was booking them up at a place called the Jufa Day.
On Lee Road, Lee Harbor, right? In Cleveland, Ohio.
Right, it's Happy's now. Slappy's.
Happy's. You know,
yeah, I call it Slappy's. Yeah, that's what that's what we cool. Hey, well, I had that, you know, boom, and then I think I hit him with that my little minutes, and they was like, oh, okay, he done some black shit, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. It was just you went and auditioned, basically, you know, did your set. Now, how long, like, was the set? 15 minutes, or?
No, man, it was a competition, actually. It was like a quarterfinals type of thing, okay. This or that. And I remember the judges were it was basically Martin's show. It was the casting director for Martin's show. It was my dude that died, bald head dude, had 19 jobs.
Tommy.
And it was a girl used to have a little big booty. The dark.
Pam?
Yeah, it was Pam. And I went up against a couple of comedians. And I think we all did good. But I knew I won. You know, I came back home, but I couldn't walk in the store. People were like, you got robbed. But they actually picked the guy. And I could hear him across the stage, because they had the stage across the end. It was like, well, they said, tell you, don't be dirty. And I wasn't dirty, because you wouldn't have showed my set.
Right.
And I wasn't that dirty. And they gave it to a dude that was a stand-in. And they knew, you know, from shooting the dance and shots at the club and everything.
Dirty.
On the Martin show.
I have a problem. I have a problem being dirty. I don't swear, but my material's borderline. That's for sure. I gotta try. Pete, R.I.P. Pete. You know, he's always...
That'll always be my dude. I love Pete, man.
Shout out to Pete from the Funny Stop in Chicago Falls.
If anybody looking out here and think I never loved Pete, I love Pete like Pete loved me. And right. Y'all don't understand, man. Some of the, you know, so I told the 5-10 people that I ever gave a fuck about me or I ever gave a fuck about my life, I done lost in the last few years. So when he left, and then I got to go down there, I know.
Right.
You know, I know, man, but man, come on, man. That man used to talk about me, and he was like, that's one of my favorite comedians.
All the time.
Yeah.
I know he said that. I know he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like I said, he used to bring people in. I was there around, and he was like, he would bring people in. He'd be like, you see Rob Allen? He started here. He started coming to here. You see Steve Harvey? He started right here. And then he'd point to me like, Cool C, when he first went up, he did 2 minutes. I'm like,
Pete, 2 minutes. I think he only did a minute 30, dog.
But at least he gave me 2 minutes.
Look, you keep saying 2 minutes. Yeah,
that's what Pete said.
All the time.
It's going to be a half hour.
Yeah.
Look, Cool C, he did 45 minutes.
He's like filming special right now over there.
No, man. No, it, comedy.
Hey, look, this week, go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, comedy is a journey, man.
Oh,
you know, geez, I definitely went up there and gave them a minute and 30 seconds of fire and got off stage. I was up there like, blah, da, 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 and that's all I got, y'all.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. That's what happened.
Right.
No,
I didn't even think Pete saw that.
Man, Pete was cool.
He sees everything, man.
But let me just say this real quick. I know some people just watched me. And that's when you know a motherfucker homeless. When he inside a house and he lighting the shit and he stomping the wind. What the fuck was I just doing? I was stopping the wind.
You was blocking the wind indoors.
I'm so used to being at the camp. Hey, but Pete, let me tell you something. Pete was the first dude that hired me as a headliner to do a whole week in a predominantly white club.
Okay.
And it was more than a predominantly white club. It was Cuyahoga Falls.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
saying?
And I came up there. I kept hustling all in his face. Cussed me out. He cussed me out because he loved me. And if he cussed y'all out, he loved y'all.
Right.
All the time.
And then if he didn't cuss you out, that means, you know, hey, look, he wasn't no bad dude. At all.
Right. And, no, not at all. He gave so many people opportunities.
But he'd talk that shit sometime.
All the time.
And cuss everybody out. And then he'd be like, next week you feature for the week.
Right?
And he'd be like, oh my God, you know what I'm saying? I didn't, you cussed me out earlier, but I'm featuring
right.
next week for the headliner.
That's how you do.
Yeah, that's how you do.
And make you feel like a person. You could be at the worst time in your life. And he said, no, you a person. So I'm finna get on the radio and tell everybody it's you. You're the feature. And this boom. Well, you know, boom, you go down there, you somebody now.
Right.
And Pete made you feel like somebody, man.
Yeah.
You know, I miss him, man. And, you know, dude, I'm going to be honest. I'm a real emotional people.
Hey, of course.
I mean, really, man, I know I need to get down there, and I will soon. That's man. All.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rob, like, tell me something about, like, like, all right, so you started off, you did open mics, you had 5 minutes. Like, when did you know that you had, like, time? Like, how did you develop time?
I developed time through, when you find out you're a comedian, now you're going to be so observant. This ain't stealing, but you're going to be so observant. There's going to be motherfuckers around you, they're going to say funny shit.
Right.
And you're going to be like, this motherfucker is an art director at Tri-C or some shit. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker ain't finna do no comedy. And you could be like, man, I'm taking that. You ain't gotta tell him, be like, motherfucker, that was funny.
Right.
And go turn into your own shit, Danny Boom.
Oh, you know what, shit, you tell people you do it, motherfuckers offer you, I go, Oh yeah, joke for you.
And that'd be the worst shit ever. That'd be the worst.
Say this on stage.
It'd be stock joke.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, "That's my joke, motherfucker." How the fuck you gonna tell me to do that? Do the Black Star, dude. Hey, let me tell you how to go.
What the fuck? Damn.
No, so I mean, but all right. So you started doing comedy and, you know, you start getting books, you're being featured and stuff. Like how was it when it was like, you know, you got an hour? Do you have a half an hour? Like, how do you know?
It took a while. Anybody to tell y'all, and it's true in comedy, man, anybody tell y'all they got a full 30 of their own original minutes and they've been doing comedy 2 years, a year, 6 months, they lying. They done went in front of some open mics, made people laugh, and that's cool. Open mics is good. Mm-hmm. But you talking about 30 minutes. It take years to come up with 30 minutes. Mm. 30 of your, I'm talking about killer minutes, where they could call you and be like, this person, this big comic ain't here. Can you run down here and do this show?
Right.
Because they know you got that 30 minutes.
Right. You know? Yeah, see, we talk about that all the time. Like, I feel like I have a round, but, you know, you do. But when you play it back, too, sometimes, like, I think the most I've ever done on stage so far was 19.
That's a good time. Yeah. Even if it didn't all go well, that was,
yeah.
You know, long as you ain't did it and the motherfucker was paying you.
Oh, no. Right.
Because you know what I'm talking about. People, like, you know, how much time you really think you got? Hard, 15?
I have more material, so it all depends on.
20, 25.
At least 25. I say at least 25.
Take five off of it all the time.
I haven't done it.
But put 10 on it.
Right.
If you like, no, I'm going to fuck with them. I see what they want.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, I'm going to tell you, we get green rooms at comedy shows. But check this out. Go check out the room first. Check out that vibe of the room. Don't sit in the green room.
Oh, yeah.
I sit in the green room now. But motherfuckers see me come out, and I check the vibe of the crowd. And I be like, okay. You know?
That's the key. Because he always... That's what I'm trying to get more into. Because usually, like, when I go and do a show, I'll know what I want to do, what set.
Right.
You know, but we'll get there because I have, like I said, there's certain things I can talk about, and I've learned there's certain things that in certain rooms they're not a fan of. You know what I mean? So he always showed me how to sit there and look at the room and pick out,
right.
You know, what material would go good with said room, I guess you could say. You know,
right.
If there's a lot more females, you can use this material. If there's more dudes, you probably don't want to touch on that because, what are you going to talk about relationships for? There are barely any chicks here. You know what I mean? They don't want to hear that shit.
Right.
You know, so it's to have that material, though, to be able to switch on and off is crazy. You know?
I just fucked y'all up with that, didn't it?
So, I mean, okay, so.
So, like you said, you gotta just.
Yeah, so like, tell me, like, how do you. Mm-hmm. I know you got, like, a repertoire, you got a lot of ammo in your head. So, how do you look at. Do you listen to the other comics? Do you watch. Like, say you're headlining. Do you see what the other comics said, or do you, like.
You know what? I gotta watch a piece of it, because I got to. It might not even be the comic. The comic might be doing it. Hey, look, this is my act. This is how I got booked.
Right.
I'm doing my act. You know, this man paid me for it. I'm not reading off no motherfucking paper.
Right.
This my shit. And they might not like it. And then you'll look at it and be like, well, why they don't like it? They be like, well, he may be too dirty.
Right.
Or actually, he may be too clean. Or actually, he may be too just regular. But they might want to, you know, they want some over-the-top shit.
Okay.
You know, so that's why I watch it. And I can tell that, like, in a few minutes, I'll be like, okay, I can do this. I rather don't do that. Because as soon as you hear somebody do this, say this, a couple of people say this in the crowd. Oh. When they do that, they're on some other shit. Fuck them. Do the joke anyway, motherfucker. Shit, fuck them. Oh.
Like, you just said a bad word or something like, yeah, the motherfucker. Like, oh. Like, I can't believe you just said that word. Yeah, fuck that. Do the word. Fuck it.
So, how you feel about comics going up with notebook papers or looking at their phone?
Hey, don't look at your phones. Don't look at the notebook paper. You know, I do that shit on open mic. Bring the books out on open mic. It's cool. That's what you there for. It's, you an open mic doing, you know, take a box of pizza up there. You know, hate it on that. You know, but if a motherfucker giving you some money, don't go up there with no notebook, no paper. You know, they relied on, they thought you was funny from what they seen. They didn't know they was going to charge motherfuckers for you to be second, third motherfucker in the show. And you just took a notebook or some paper up in that motherfucker.
Right, right.
Don't do that. if you ain't got 20 minutes, and that's what they want to pay you for, tell them you got 10. It's all right. They still might want you in the show. Be like, okay, well, I'll give you this for this. And when you get that 20, call me. When you get that 30, call me. 40, call me.
You said it was other tricks you could do other than bringing that paper or the phone.
People, you can write comics. You can write. You see where your hand is when you grab the mic? You can write a couple of little, like, subjects. Don't write the, you can't write no joke, motherfucker. Don't forget it. It shouldn't even be a joke. You can't remember the joke. But it should be a subject. You write two subjects right around your finger right there. And when you grab the mic, you can look at it. If you keep your hand in the right place, they'll never see it. Right. And the other one is the little napkin trick. You know, grab a napkin. This is a napkin. You know, right? Write 4 or 5 subjects down. Not the subjects you know you're going to do, but the ones you want to do, the ones you think you might not remember. Mm-hmm. And you write them down. And then you go up there with your drink. You know what I'm saying? So that motherfucker right there, little napkin there, go grab your drink, boom, you hit that motherfucker one time, you seen the subject, you ain't done. They go 5 minutes right there off one subject, but I got 4 or 5 of them that I can fuck with or whatever. You know, the cheat game from Rob Allen.
Right.
You know, send me $5 to Rob Allen Comedy 06. Now that's me. Rob Allen Comedy 06. Oh, what's that? Cash App.
Cash App.
Rob Allen Comedy 06. I'ma send that shit to you. Just be like, you know, tell him to request it.
I'll put link. I'll put the link in.
No,
the
it's script. A real. It's that's the real me.
That's
the only Rob. You know what I'm saying?
That matters.
Or it might not even be Rob Allen Comedy. Hold on. Hey, look, I ain't out scamming no motherfuckers.
No, but basically, what he's saying is
I'm
like
broke, motherfucker. That's what I'm saying. Shit.
What he's saying is if you on a paid show, don't go up there with your phone.
Man.
Or a notepad or some paper.
Shit, I watched a headliner.
Yeah.
$ Rob Allen Comedy 06.
Yeah, that's me. Y'all 06. Heard him say it. And he got a job. Hey, look, I'm gonna tell y'all something. I heard you my man just dude, I've seen headliners do it too. You a headliner. I'ma stop my show. I'll take the penalty. The lost wage, whatever. But I'm not just going to stand up there and
well,
put out no paper because I forgot. That was my job to remember.
Right.
And I forgot. I forgot to do an hour. They told me to do an hour. I forgot to do 45. I forgot to do 30. Motherfucker said he gave me 50 for 15.
I seen somebody pull, like, I was watching the show. I got up, go to the bathroom, came back. They had the paper on the stool, did his time, and then for like the last 15 minutes, just had people yell out words. And so he would talk about off, trying to get like crowd work and everything. I'm like, this is a paid show where people pay money to. It's crazy.
My thing is, I understand.
Nobody local.
I watch people pull out their phones and do their jokes off their phones. I watch people pull out them notepads and this and that. Man, you trying to get your show better. I ain't mad at you.
Right.
But don't let nobody pay you. And you lie and say, I got 20. Right. I had a comedian.
I said, can you do 25-30? And they said, yeah. And then they brung somebody with them. And it was a great club I had, out, somewhere in Ohio. And that person was closer to that club than me. And that person came in there that night. I was giving good money. Cause nice budget, food, everything. For, you know, everybody, beautiful. And that person brought another comic in there and said, well, just give me the money. They going to do some of my time. And I said, I should have never booked you.
Wow.
So the person that they brought in there to do that time, you know, because it was a thing that no comedy clubs do. It ain't no, you get a meal, all your food was free.
Oh, okay.
All your drinks was free. And I was looking like, wow, I can't believe these guys doing this. And giving me a budget to pay the comedians.
Right, right, right.
This one I got, I made sure I stayed out of the promoter game. And they came in there, they was ordering drinks for their friends.
Mm.
You know, they already came in and told me this comedian doing my show. Now, that person ordering drinks and food like they was part of the show. You ain't even known the flyer. So you done added me an extra person. You ain't did your job.
Right.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Well,
you know how people, they like to take advantage and, you know, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
Especially when you're generous like that. That's good. You see, you give opportunities. You know, it seems like, so you've been in the game how many years?
Like 85 or so.
Nice.
So
a senior in the
25
game.
Extra after the night, nigga. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Real Bylan, you've been in more places than just Kinsman.
I've been everywhere. I played soccer in France. Scuba dived in the Mediterranean, motherfucker.
And went to what, the Bulls and
Man, I went to Spain. I've been to Spain. I watched Bull Ride. Motherfucker don't, you know. Ain't no problem, man. You know, you the motherfucker look like you. What you doing now? Where you at now?
No,
hey, you know, no, shit.
I know. I watch.
Yeah,
I watch bullfights in Spain. You know, there was no bullfight. It was this motherfucker with a crazy motherfucker with a red flag. Then I said, "How much money you get?" Because I was drunk. Hey, you know what I'm saying? No, they weren't gonna let me down.
Fuck him.
They were like, no, he ain't that nose.
Running around with that bitch like a cape. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm from EC. You know, Rick. Oh man, but you know, I thank God my life ended today, and I hope it don't. But man, I appreciate the comedy. What comedy did, I got to see the world. I was on TV. I still get recognized. I seen some person the other day, and they recognized me. Like, I remember you. You the comedian, ain't you? I'm like, I ain't been on TV in a minute. You know, and like, no, I remember you. Man, I used to watch you when I was in jail. I was like, oh, bruh. You know, then I had to run from the motherfucker. I'm like, so man, I said, you been out for a while though, ain't you? He's like, no, I just got out. I'm like, motherfucker, I ain't been on TV in 20 years. I ain't been on TV. Motherfucker,
you
done killed somebody. Who the fuck you done killed, motherfucker? Talking about Hollywood.
He's too
bad. Yo.
You said, so yeah, but BET plays all that shit, don't they? Does it still play Comic View?
I don't have BET. I guess you got to be subscribed to it.
You got to be subscribed nowadays?
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. They don't want me. I got banned from the motherfucker.
You got banned from BET?
Yeah, man. You know, remember, I thought we said this already.
No.
Oh, that was the pregame, I think.
No, you never told us.
I think we were going to get into it.
I got banned from Comic View. I was on there like 8 straight years, man. I won awards. You know, it was like, you know, I was right there with all everybody. And then I got on there. I was like, I'm about to fuck them up. It was in Miami. You know, I was like, oh, man, I'm about to, you know, I'm going to Miami.
Right.
You know, I look like, I look like a motherfucker. I had hair.
How old were you?
So I look like.
How old were you?
Man, 2002, 2003. That was 20 years ago, so I was 30-something.
Okay, okay. The prime.
I was still playing flag football. Okay. You know I'm in the Hall of Fame for Cleveland Flag Football.
No,
one of the greatest motherfuckers ever played.
What team?
Cleveland Dogs.
What okay. position?
I played corner. I play rusher too.
Okay.
Yeah, I just knock motherfuckers, big motherfuckers out. Yeah. Linebacker, all that.
Love it.
Yeah. USCFL, I had my own league called UFA.
Okay.
That's when y'all know a motherfucker drunk.
Because they belch.
Yeah. You know, but they talking like, I ain't even finished.
Okay, so you
look, you know that weird shit again, like, we outside.
Like that bitch.
Cover that shit.
Cover it up, man, block the wind.
So you're 35 years old.
And you on Comic View. What happened,
and
man?
You're in Miami.
I mean, what you mean, what happened? I had to do some things that popped up, man. You know, in life, man, just.
You said you was banned from Comic View.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the things that happened in life. These motherfuckers banned me because I did a joke. First they was mad because I took some a bag of doo-doo up there. It wasn't even real
what
doo-doo.
What the fuck?
It was some chocolate bars.
Oh, okay.
And they got mad because I said, this one when only white people picked up the dog shit. This back in the early 2000s. And I said, white people should never get robbed, especially while they walking their dogs. They got mad at that. I know they did. That started it off. And I had the dog doodle. I'd be like, get the fuck away. And I was waving it like, you know, like, motherfucker, I hit you with this dog shit. And they ain't like that. I knew it. So then I was like, fuck them. Then I talked about motherfuckers back then, 20-something years ago, was wearing their pants down. And I said, I don't know how they doing it. They're going to get caught by the police, blah, blah, blah. I said, but these motherfuckers did. I said they didn't got caught by the police where their parents are filled out of the trip. I said, next year, motherfucker gonna be out. And I pulled my pants. I pulled my to my mid thigh, and I pulled my drawers to the end of my head. My ass was out like.
And that's why you got bad.
Like a motherfucker. It was yellow too.
And that's why you got bad.
No. I didn't get banned because of that. Because I didn't show him shit. It was just a little yellow piece of flat ass. And they was like, oh, we ain't gonna fuck with him. That little bitty ass, light skinned motherfucker. But it was the models that was sitting on the stage and they was facing the crowd. They said I had my shit out and all that, like waving it around. Oh, come on. I made sure I stopped it right there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then my dumb ass, instead of pulling my pants up, it was a chick. When you walk out, they be like, hey, wow, one more. I'm walking up the stage. I ain't even pulling my pants up. It's a model right where the steps where we go on stage, and I'm humping on her shit.
Well, that's why, Rob. Yeah.
I'm sure that's why you got banned there, Rob.
Hey, look, I went back to the like, I killed these motherfuckers. Like, I ain't done shit. I done bombed everything, but I'm over here humping bitches. Hey, look, them motherfuckers took me, like, they came to the little room where all the comedians was. They was like, hey, the president and the superintendent or whoever this motherfucker was, they was like, they want to see you. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm finna host next year.
Like, you was like, I tore that shit up.
Man, I go in there, it's two polices. It's two polices in there. We did this show in Miami. They said, you can't show your chest, your breasts, your booty, your ass, your dick. And then, and you know, after they had said that about the model saying that, and I already showed my ass. They was like, man, we could arrest you right now for these qualifications of arrestment.
So we up here chilling with Rob Allen, y'all. Cleveland's own, yeah. Rob Allen.
Right. All this comedy, your life and all this shit. Why did you start? Like, who were some of your
man? Richard Pryor was the baddest motherfucker ever. That his nose was almost like mine, man, bigger. He was a funny motherfucker, and he said shit like it was. He didn't hold back, and that's what I loved about it. My grandpa, all the motherfuckers used to play, you know, before they left, and then but they all that you know they play his albums. I be like, this motherfucker, he the teacher.
Right.
Y'all ain't taught us shit. Keep playing these Richard Pryor records. He's teaching me everything about life.
Yeah.
You know, and some of this shit was fucked up. He was trying to teach me, but.
Right. Well, you're going to learn real shit from real people.
I looked at the comedy and it was like he just kept it 100.
Right.
You know.
So, yeah. Richard Pryor was one of your influences. Do you have any more?
Bernie Mac, man. I love Bernie Mac.
Shout out to Bernie Mac.
Real Fox. Y'all see, somebody said I see Real Fox and Richard, and I ain't trying to be them, but maybe that's who influenced me. And
right.
Some of that blood and soul, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm be me, though. Do my jokes.
Oh, yeah. It's your personality. Right. It's just what you grew up watching. It's like me with Chappelle. Some of my...
He one of the coldest motherfuckers.
Inflections. He's one of my favorites.
And you know, I'm doing this show in this hometown. When are we doing that show? If y'all go to Rob Allen Jr. on Bookface, there's a flyer up there for me, Tank with a C, Yvette Williams.
Okay, shout out to Tank with a C.
We're doing that show December the 9th.
Y'all gonna be in Springfield?
Yeah, we're gonna be in Springfield. Yellow Springs. Yeah, you know, like he gonna come. He ain't gonna come. This motherfucking place so little, dude. They ain't even got roaches, because if one came, two niggas could stomp their foot and they gonna exterminate that whole motherfucker. No, it's a nice place. I'm just fucking with y'all. Y'all know I love y'all. That motherfucker little. But we gonna be in Springfield.
Yellow Springs.
Springfield.
Okay.
No, he in Yellow Springs. That's right.
Yeah.
We going to Springfield.
Oh, okay.
And what else we got going? Rob Alexander. That's my dude. I got a show with him December the 2nd. It's his birthday. He do it annually. And he's got a bunch of comedians, man. Comedian Yushan.
Shout out to you, Sean.
Shout out to you, Sean.
Yeah, Mr. Sean. I've been knowing him for a long time.
Okay.
Sean called me. I might need a ride, man.
So, Rob, so let me ask you this, man. How do you feel about... I saw Michael Collier.
Oh, yeah.
I love Michael Collier.
Mm.
But he told me... Well, when he said on the interview, he didn't tell me. But he said on the interview, like, you know, Red Fox... did some jokes, and he's been dead for 20 years, but he feel like his jokes shouldn't die. So he pretty much like recycled some of them jokes. How do you feel about like retelling other comics jokes?
But man, you know what? It has to be somebody that know him. Now, if he, you know, like if he knew him, or he just like, oh no, I'm an old nigga, because I'm gonna tell you something. I thought about that with this one comic. And this motherfucker, one of the funniest comics ever, man. And he had stroke, you know. God bless him. God clean Kenny Adams, man. These two of the comics.
Shout out to Kenny Adams.
You know that I've been doing for years. Kenny Adams, that's my dude too, man. Always took me over Rob Harris. But let me tell you something. The dude that was funny was this dude called Daryl Banks out of Toledo. And he had a stroke while on stage. And he was one of the funniest dudes ever, man. You know, I mean, to me.
Right.
And he had a couple of jokes, you know. I mean, they was funny. I'm going to tell the two that I love. Mm-hmm. He had the one joke. This is Daryl Banks now. This ain't me being Daryl Banks. Daryl Banks had the one joke. Was like, yeah, pussy was meant to eat. What is pussy spelled backwards? Daryl Banks, Toledo, one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
And look, the other joke that motherfucker had, that you talk about when he was smoking, he used to smoke that shit. He was like, I used to smoke some shit. He was like, I remember getting high and I was looking on the floor. He said he was looking on the floor for some shit and he ended up smoking the poodle. Daryl Banks!
Okay. Shout out to Daryl Banks.
Yeah, shout out to Daryl Banks.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
So he's any like local as you were coming
up? Oh man,
up?
Y'all, it's a bunch of local, man. It's a bunch of local got going on. But I ain't in the local scene, so I don't get to see everything. So you know, but from what I see, everybody trying to run, man. Everybody trying to do their thing, you know.
Yeah,
nigga, but put your shoes on and win the marathon, you know.
Right.
Cleveland comedy is on the rise.
It ain't gonna be no sprint. It ain't even 400-yard dash, you know. It's this motherfucker. And then let me tell y'all some of this, man. Some of y'all motherfuckers is real funny. You not gonna get as much work as the motherfucker that is just regular funny. You not.
Right.
Because if you real funny, and you ain't living in Cleveland or fucking Avon Lake or some motherfucking shit, Cincinnati, they not gonna look at you like they looked at. And you could be 10 times as funny. 10 times. 10 times as funny. Invest in you. Put your money in you.
Right.
Put your money in you. You gonna do this shit, just put your money in you. Because, you know, you can be almost funny and be out here all, making a bunch of money.
Right.
And then you can be real funny sitting at home and be like, why is that almost funny motherfucker making money?
Promoting.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But just, guess what? He almost funny.
Right.
He not a threat.
Mm.
He ain't no threat. He ain't
so you saying...
He ain't true. He ain't finna go up there and be like, motherfucker, I just did my set, fuck with that.
So basically what you're saying is, like, you got a lot of mediocre comics that's doing well financially because they being put on shows because the people, they bringing them along so they won't be funnier than them. Is that what you're saying?
No, I ain't saying it like that. I'm just saying a threat is a threat, bro. Right. Because it could be that motherfucker that had one funnier show than you, then the other three be like, okay, you deserve where you're supposed to be. I'm talking about the motherfucker that, dude, let me just say this. You know, a lot of times I thought, I can't boom, boom, boom. And I thought about it, I was like, no, they don't want me on the show. Mm-hmm. I ain't done nothing to them. They don't know me. But they know I'm finna hit everybody with some shit. I had a motherfucker wouldn't even take a picture with me in Pittsburgh, one of the biggest comics out here. And took a picture with everybody down in the guest room and basically. I got to stand over there. I think I went second that day. All the little hype young motherfuckers was there. Mm-hmm. I was funny anyway, you know? And motherfucker wouldn't take a picture with me.
Mm.
Wow.
See,
wow.
He had to go take a long shit, but he took a picture with everybody else. I was like, man, take a picture with Unk real quick, bro. Boom, I had my phone out. We could have did it real quick. And then I was like, okay.
Yeah, comedy's weird like that. You got people that talk to you one day and not talk to you the next.
Yeah, that's weird, man.
I've had that.
Yeah, me
I've
too.
I've had that in my early career. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah, people. Yeah.
But you know, you learn how to, you know, separate yourself from those people, just like in any life. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate because, you know, you go out and just talk your shit. I go out and have a... Like, if I go out, I'm never doing a show by myself, so there's other comics there. I hope everybody does good. I'm never sitting there like, I hope he does bad so I can do better.
Oh, man, but you don't know it's so many that do that.
It's amazing, though, the people that think that way, that they even have that thought in their head. It's like, don't you want the whole show to be good? Because you don't want the crowd to ever have a lull.
Look.
They're trying to win their spots.
I guess.
I want to win my spot with Pete. So I hope your show bombs, and then Pete said, you're the next great one.
Right.
Look, you're the next great one.
Look, speaking of shows, when I was doing... Pete. Yeah, shout out to Pete. When I was doing my show, I couldn't afford this guy right here. Yeah, I'm like, yo, Rob. I'm like, yo, Rob, man, can you...
That was a nice club, too.
I was like, Rob, can you... Yo, Rob, can you, you know... And I tried to explain to him, look, man, I ain't trying to offend you. But I have a small budget, man. I'm new to this, you know.
He said, well, you'll learn. Yeah, Rob, your budget's not big enough for me.
Rob was like... Hold on. He said... Man, I kept looking at the flyer of the club. I'm like, oh, he got young dude out here trying to ball. I kept, like, he got a show every week.
Yeah, every other week, yeah.
Yeah, at a nice club, I think in the Heights or whatever.
Yeah.
And he called me like, "Rob, man, I'd love for you to come up and do the spot, man." But the brother had called me through some hard times, just reminded me I had comedy brothers in the comedy game. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that, man.
For sure, yeah, man.
You know, I didn't even know you, like, really know you or nothing.
Yeah,
and
man.
And you was calling me, you know, just like, nigga, boom, I hear you. But
It's a superpower.
Justin, to you, and him and Justin. But he called me to do it, so I was like, "Brother, I got you." Boom, you was my peoples through all this bullshit I've been through in my life, and this is that. I'm like, what's the day of the show? And I'm like, I'm there. I didn't even ask him about money or nothing. You know, I'm figuring he know who I am. I'm Rob Allen. He gonna know at least. Well, he booked me for the show, and then he kept calling me like big text. I'm like, I'm there. Boom. And so I finally had to ask about the money because y'all know I ain't got no driver's license. And so I had to ask about the show. I was like, "Hey, look here, man. How much, what's the ticket? You know, what's the ticket mean? How much the money? How much I'm getting?" And he said, "I got $25.
That's all I got, man.
Wait a minute. This would got me. And he said, "But I'm going to give it to you before you go up."
Come on, man. Look, listen.
Hey, look. What you drinking?
You was excited.
Look, I got you, baby.
Because I ain't coming to that motherfucker.
Hey.
He got 25. But look, this what got me, because this was a soldier in him. He said, "But I'm gonna give it to you before you go."
Make you feel even better.
Like, hey, that. I don't care what happened. I got 25 in my pocket.
Look, let me tell you something. I started doing comedy earlier at the Funny Stop. I had a bunch of people come up to watch me do comedy. And before the show was over, this dude had all my people, man. I was like, "Rob, you still in all my fans, bro."
Man,
shout out to Rob Allen, man. Yeah. I love this guy, man. Hey, I'm glad he came to the show.
Where we at?
At the Midnight Pocket Podcast, man.
Hey, I'm right here. I got the shirt.
Yeah.
I'm selling shirts too, remember?
Episode of the Midnight Pocket Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer, they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
Yo, Jay, where they can find you at, baby?
You can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on Instagram, people.
And you can find me at the_great_CoreE. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Pocket Podcast.
Google us on everything.
Yeah.
Rob Allen Jr. on Bookface.
Yeah.
Bookface.
Hey.
Appreciate everybody. Love you all.
Yeah, peace.
Peace out.
Midnight Pocket. Midnight Pocket Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast.